My company officer's got to be able to slow it down in his head to absorb all the information. It's a lot. It's a lot of information you're going to gather in that first 30, 40 seconds when you come off that rig.
This is Code 3, the Firefighters Podcast, hosted by award-winning journalist Scott Orr. Now, here's Scott.
That's right, and I will not let Parkinson stop me. Welcome back to another edition of Code 3. This is the show for and about firefighters. Give me 20 minutes and I'll give you a firefighting topic to think about. One subject, one guest, no wasted time. Now let's get started. Today we are rethinking everything you know about fireground size-ups. Everyone's been taught standard acronyms like coal was wealth, but that traditional method is often too complicated for a young firefighter or an inexperienced officer with no background in building construction. Our guest today is here to share what he calls a system for success. He breaks down the vital difference between an initial windshield report and a true size-up. And he warns that a worthwhile size-up absolutely does not take place from the cab of the apparatus. Todd Edwards is here to explain why identifying the occupancy is the most critical step. Hearing working fire over the radio is simply not enough for incoming units to make tactical decisions. They need to know exactly what they're dealing with before they ever step off the rig. Todd Edwards served over 30 years with Atlanta Fire Rescue. He is a second-generation firefighter and the creator of the presentation, Size Up, a System for Success. During his career with Atlanta, he held a variety of positions, including captain, battalion chief, and assistant fire chief. And Todd Edwards, welcome to Code 3.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate the opportunity. I'm looking forward to having a conversation with you this morning.
All right. So everyone's been taught the standard kind of acronyms like coal was wealth and so on. They've been taught that forever. You call your approach a system for success. What's missing from the traditional way size-up is taught?
Probably the biggest thing I encounter from traveling and teaching so much is there's really two flaws. It's either the system's way over the top complicated when you start asking a 22-year-old firefighter with no background in building construction to give a square footage. Don't find that to be realistic whatsoever. And I think the other end of that, we have so many departments across this country that are combination departments with full-time guys from other organizations, and they don't actually have a true system in place. It's kind of like, well, this is the way Billy does size up. This is the way Cody does size up. This is the way Todd does size up. And it can actually have confusion on the fire ground. So pretty much what we're kind of teaching is it's to kind of dial in on the biggest factors and getting some understanding that size up does not take place from the cab of the apparatus, that there's, we kind of teach it more in that system of my initial on-scene report and then my actual size up when I'm out of the rig and I'm putting eyes on more than just one side of the structure, if that makes sense to you. And then our real focus is focusing on the occupancy itself. What is it? If I can identify that, we can already start it as a battalion chief, riding as a battalion chief. I really, one of the first things I always keyed on as a battalion chief, I wanted to hear the occupancy. If I didn't know the street or if it was a street that had a combination of single family, multifamily, as well as some type of commercial structures, I really wanted to hear the occupancy of what we were going to and dealing with. No matter what dispatch says, I want to hear my first engine or first truck on the scene to tell me that. And that really allows that battalion chief, that allows the next arriving units to actually have their own game plan coming into the fire ground instead of we have a working fire. That's just not enough for us to make decisions on. So a lot of strong focus on occupancy, current conditions I can see from the front yard, what I can see from my windshield, and what our initial action plan is, unless that's going to change once I get out and do my full size up, which is going to be on part of my 360, seeing the rear of the structure.
So you're saying that you'll accept both of those. You'll accept it through the windshield report first and then a real size up afterwards?
Yeah, and I think this is a better way to approach things because, again, even if I step out of the truck to make my initial radio transmission, my size up's still going to be limited to just that one side or two sides of the house until I can really see a really good picture of the house or the building or the apartment. I haven't really done what I would term as a size up as much as I've given you my initial on-scene report. So that on-scene report may sound something as engine 20 is arriving on scene, two-story, single-family dwelling with heavy smoke showing from the first floor out the side. So I've given my occupancy, I've given my conditions, and the location of those conditions. But I haven't really seen nothing else. Is that a two-story build on grade? So it's actually three, maybe even four stories on the Charlie side, the back of the building. Is there a fire coming out of another window on the back of the building? So I think that's where your real size up starts kind of forming for the entire fire ground operation, is once you're out of the truck and you're really putting your eyes on more than just a very limited or a tunnel vision view of one or two sides of the house.
Can you explain the difference between reporting what you see and actually processing what it means for the next 10 minutes of the fire?
Well, I think mindsets first and foremost develop long before you actually have that incident. Guys who have been in my programs, and I almost, I live and die on this hill. I really do. I'm such a firm believer that the more knowledge I have of my first due district, even my second due districts, that's given me such an advantage on when another unit arrives first and starts giving their initial on-scene report into their size-up report. And it really allows my mind to take a different approach. Our mindset should always obviously be, you know, that victim, that search mentality, and I'm a firm believer in that. However, my approach on searching a commercial building after hours versus a residential is going to be a little bit different. So it really starts forming my mindset on both my strategic level and my task level and my tactical level, things that I really want to focus my crews on, my companies on, and my overall command structure on based on my riding position. So that mindset really develops before the fire. And then once I arrive on scene, a two-story house with, you know, heavy smoke on the first floor, my mindset's really got to be focused on getting the initial line in operation and getting a crew or crews to that second floor to initiate that primary search and really have a really hard focus on getting those searches above my fire where all my smoke and products of combustion are traveling to at that point. So I think that does shape our mindset of how we're going to approach these fires. And I think you've heard it. I know a lot of guys listening always hear this. How often we hear a report, police are on the scene and they're advising fully involved. Well, there's a big difference between fully involved and 50% involved. So, again, our mindset's really formed by giving those conditions and where I see those conditions. Do I have smoke showing? Do I have fire showing? And if I do have fire showing, is it out one window? Is it out the entire second floor? Is it through the roof? All those start forming our mindset, which also will drive our tactics in the end.
I don't think police officers are necessarily in a position to decide whether something's fully involved or not, just based on seeing flames.
Right. Especially at night where the whole sky's lit up. It looks like half the block's on fire.
Let's take a break now and we'll be back shortly. Stay with us. If you own a business, large or small, I've got an idea for you. Why not advertise in this podcast? After all, if your market is members of the fire service, they're already listening to Code 3. And Code 3 is returning to a two-a-week schedule this summer. The price to speak directly to thousands of firefighters, company officers, and chiefs is surprisingly affordable. Reach the people you want as customers. Just email Scott at code3podcast.com and we'll get you on the air. So let's talk about the 360. Everyone knows they should do it, but you say it's a critical failure point if it doesn't happen. What's the single biggest piece of intel a company officer misses if they skip a lap around the building?
Well, and I think one of the things that kind of forms into our overall fire ground operations is apparatus positioning. And I know not everything's going to be that perfect ideal that I'm going to be approaching the building from, you know, as an example, from the Bravo side. I pull past the Alpha side and I position just on the Delta side of the building. Those are perfect scenarios where I can see three sides before I even get out of my truck. But one of the most critical things, and if you go back, and I'm super excited that all the Mayday data is being reviewed again and being reproduced from the original, but there were so many documented, and I wish I could tell you the exact numbers, over 6% of Maydays occurred when nobody saw the rear of the structure. So that vital information of seeing all four sides, obviously my ideal is to pull just past the structure and give me that three-sided view just as I'm approaching. But then I just have such a strong emphasis on company officers and people in charge. They've got to go and see the rear of that building at some point. And typically, in my opinion, especially residential, early into the operation, because I want to know if the house is on a crawl space, a basement. Is it built on grade where I have not two, but three, maybe more stories in the rear? Do I have victims out of rear bedroom window? Is there survivable space? If I have heavy fire on the first floor, is there survivable space by looking at the rear of that structure? And that may give me a different option, whether I go through the front door or do I send a company to the rear with ladders? Again, that's where that size up component really comes into play. When I hit that 360, as we always term it, I want to be able to deliver all incoming units 360 complete. We do have heavy smoke showing from the Charlie side. This is going to be three stories on the rear, or two stories on the rear, or two story on a full basement. I want my officer to have that vision as well. I want my officers to have that ability to start making tactical decisions before they step off that truck. And by me giving that information on seeing the rear of that building, so they know what size ladders, whether they need a 24 or 28, or in some cases even a 35 to make the rear of a structure, especially when you start dealing with these 3-4-story multifamily buildings as well. So all these things have a factor in everything we're talking about. And this is where that class really kind of starts dialing these things in and lays out for lack of a better term, kind of a blueprint. And it keeps our operations starting from the same exact page versus just saying we have a working fire on a large house. That's just not enough information to really make good, sound tactical decisions off of.
And there are any number of examples we can find of Maydays that have resulted because the people in the back had 3 floors and the people in the front only saw 2 floors.
Yes.
And so there's a big confusion over whether you're on the first floor or the second floor.
Yes. And there's documented cases of that. I think Pittsburgh's one of the more tragic cases of floor identification and company identifications once we had got into the interior operations. And again, those are little, they seem little when we're sitting here having a conversation in our homes about them, but on the fire ground where everything's fast paced and we're being hammered possibly by information from other, from civilians or occupants that have escaped, stating where my mom's on the second floor. Well, she's on the second floor, bedrooms in the rear, where the rear, the house is actually all 3 stories in the rear, all start changing how that fire ground is going to flow. And I just find it so critical, and kind of goes back to my main point. Certain parts of my district as a captain, we had a lot of homes built on grade. So while it was one on the front, two on the front, there was numerous cases of it being 3 full stories on the rear of those houses based on how they were built, especially on grade with a basement, truly made these challenging for an access point or escape point for us, for our rapid intervention teams, when you start talking about placing ground ladders on the back of a house like that.
So you mentioned the fact the younger officers are not necessarily familiar with square footage of a structure just from looking at it. I think they'll probably have some difficulty with the construction as well.
Yes.
So are your officers looking at the fire but missing construction features that could kill their crew if they're not careful?
I think with the way things are today, I think, again, going back and understanding my district and understanding this is a brand new subdivision of 200 single family homes. All of them are 2 stories. All of them have short setbacks. All of them are going to be lightweight wood truss. Well, that's working knowledge of your district that gives us a true advantage. If I've got heavy fire throughout that attic space, that should change our mindset about the possibility of a collapse because of the lightweight wood trusses or the silent floor systems. If I have those same buildings with basements on them and I have heavy fire conditions in the basement, and what my approach to that fire is going to be, whether it's a true basement or a walkout where I can stretch lines to the rear of that particular house. When we say young officers, I think, again, the advantage I can give a young officer is to really, and this was just my habit, was to take my young guys out. And we went out, we were going on calls anyway, so we took advantage of those calls. And we went to different parts of our district, the older part where things were actually stick built. They were true brick homes in parts of our district, all the way to new homes that were, you know, of lightweight wood truss, which is very, very, very common throughout the United States of America. So having those understandings and the fire conditions all going to play a factor that we can actually educate. And I don't think we shouldn't be trying to develop this in a brand new officer. We should be developing this in our brand new firefighter on his first shift coming into the firehouse. He's looked at all the books and taken all the building construction tests and probably passed with flying colors. But now I want him to see that out in the real world and understand where the challenges are for our district or our cities or, you know, whatever the situation may be.
You mentioned the size of potentially dictates the risk profile for the incident. How does your system help an officer decide in the first 30 seconds whether it's a go or no-go situation?
I think that's, again, it's going to be one of the factors that that we've done, and I think some departments do a better job of this than others, understanding our resources, what resources are coming and available resources if things really go sideways as far as calling for additional units. But I think when you start talking about, and I don't want to go, I don't want to get into survivability profiling or anything like that, but the majority of our 1 and 2 room fires can be handled so easily with aggressive first water on the fire. If it's in that point that, and I tell guys all the time, if you're at the point that you're questioning whether we should be inside, then we probably shouldn't be inside at that very moment. And again, this goes back to the transitional fire tax. This goes back to understanding all the UL studies on that it's okay to hit the bulk of it from the outside, evaluate, and then make our initial interior attack. This goes back to understanding that I can be flowing heavy water from the outside position while a ladder is going to a second floor window on another side of the building. So I think that a lot of teachings, and I don't want to say this is not a negative light to anybody else. I'd never teach, this is always going to be the way. I don't teach automatics because there's so many variables that are going to come into play. Living here in the southeastern United States, of course, majority of our country has been under either 18 feet of snow or like here in the metro Atlanta area under an inch of ice the last 3 days. Those are all factors in determining whether we're going to make that entry or what why I have an engine pretty close to my neighborhood. The second due probably would have been a 20-minute, 30-minute response to just due to simple road conditions. And that all goes back to having that understanding when we start talking about looking at my system, amount of involvement, whether it's a couple rooms of content. Again, this is where your size up starts long before your fire and getting firefighters to read buildings, read windows, reading smoke, reading fire conditions, weather conditions. Is this wind driven? Is it not wind driven? So these are all things that are going that are parts of that class. And the idea behind the overall program isn't to say you all your system the way you're saying it's going to be the same every time, but your approach has to take in all the factors we've been kind of talking about the last couple minutes.
In your experience, what's the number one mistake new company officers make during their initial size up?
Probably rushing to get inside. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I think we should be at full speed. But it's when we get, it's very easy. And when I'm doing sims with firefighters all over the country, the easy part is seeing fire, you know, fire blowing out of a couple of windows on the first floor. That's it. We can all see that. I can show that picture to a 10-year-old and he's going to say, ooh, there's fire coming out of that window. The mistake that some officers make is that's all they see. They don't see the black turbulent smoke pushing from the attic eaves on the delta side of the house because they're so tunnel visioned in on getting inside the front door versus seeing the bigger picture. I've been involved in one case, but there's documented cases of because we didn't hit the 360 of people losing their lives or being severely injured because we missed the big picture. So I kind of always tell everybody, we're not going in slow motion, but I also need you as a company officer to take that beat. You know, my firefighters can be stretching that line in 30 seconds or less, and I'm 100% agreement with that. My company officer's got to be able to slow it down in his head to absorb all the information. It's a lot. It's a lot of information you're going to gather in that first 30, 40 seconds when you come off that rig, along with your company, along with incoming units and everything else that goes along with that.
And I think they probably go into this not knowing how important it is to get all these details. Or they hear from you or someone in teaching class like yours that they must tell them this, this, and this. But at the same time, when they get out to the scene, they're going to forget some of those things. It kind of goes back. You were kind of making a reference when we first started to the call was wealth.
It kind of goes back. You made reference when we first started about the coal was wealth. That works. I know FDNY is kind of where that's really coming from. I think for the majority of the American Fire Service, where these guys, in some cases, two-year firefighters now riding the front seats in some places. And that's just how things are. But so the idea behind having a system of identifying the occupancy, the conditions, and what initial actions are kind of starts streamlining the entire process. And when I'm doing it and Scott's doing it and Bob's doing it, all these pieces kind of start falling into place in a more easy transitional way than versus we got a big house and it's on fire, or we have every, you know, it's fully involved. You know, room and content just looks really bad because it's in the middle of the night. One of the things I really tried and I talk about in the class is I'm trying to remove some of the noise. And by having systems both before, during, and even after the fire, we start removing some of that background noise that's always at every fire ground. There's so many things that can be happening at the same time. We add that in and we do that with our hands-on stuff too. We hammer them with a lot of that background noise, and none of it has any relevance to the situation. It's so you're seeing and you're operating within your plan of how you're seeing things and information being fed to you by others on the fire ground sometimes. But it's a practice. It's a skill. It's a practice trait to be able to slow ourselves down. It takes some time, and the more reps your firefighters can do, the better they're going to be when they're riding that front seat too.
Now, noted philosopher Mike Tyson said that everybody has a plan until they get hit in the face. So they can go into it with a plan, but they need to understand that plan is going to have to change probably immediately.
Yeah, and again, those are when we practice, or when we're training size up, or we're taking a class on size up. There is no number of classes I could deliver this class 1,000 times, but when you leave that class, I say this about all classes we attend, and this, you know, from FDIC to the small town conferences and everything in between, I may be great at that moment on that skill for that scenario or for that evolution or for that classroom session. But if I don't take that and immediately apply that the very next day I'm on the rig, or the very next time I'm just driving down the street. And what's really cool about size up, when you kind of get the system dialed in, you can practice it anywhere, anytime. Even today, I still practice that, those moments of saying, how would I describe that building? Especially when you see something odd and unique. And one of the things we do in our system, or one of the things we tell students, if it's odd, it's just so out of the box, just say what it is. You don't have to get down to, I think we have a, just say what you're seeing. I do this with commercial buildings. If I say I'm on the scene of a one-story commercial within a 5-mile radius of my home, I just described about 400 buildings. If I say I'm on the scene of a one-story commercial building. So we really emphasize, just tell us what the building is. Is it a Burger King? Is it a Chick-fil-A? Is it the local, you know, if it's Kroger, which is the, you know, a huge grocery store here in our area. If it is Home Depot, just say it's Home Depot. that immediately, remember when I was saying about, I want to eliminate all that static, all that background noise. As soon as I say Home Depot, I've eliminated a whole bunch of guesswork because everybody coming to my fire knows what a Home Depot is and what it looks like. We're going to know the construction of that. We're going to know the challenges of those fires. So I think when we can dial it in like that, our firefighters, our operations become much cleaner, smoother, and actually a whole lot faster when we're not guessing. And I think that also builds into kind of go back to your initial question or statement. It allows me to be able to go, hey, plan A isn't going to work on this particular building or this fire or what I'm seeing. What is my plan B? What is my plan C? What is my plan D?
Well, plus the fact that I imagine you get an attitude from some of these new officers who want to tell you all about the building construction if they know about it. And they want to tell you all about the square footage if they can estimate it. But if you say it's a Home Depot, that tells all the rest of that stuff put together because everybody knows what it looks like and they know how it's built.
Exactly. Exactly. It's an advantage. It's an advantage to understand. Again, it goes back to that district, understanding that if we're dispatched to the Mayberry apartment buildings, we should all know my first units. And as a chief officer, I wanted my first units to understand, oh, this apartment complex has a history of, and we've been at this fire. We had these issues and we take those lessons and apply them to the next fire. And I think that's when I do this program, we talk about the before, the during, and the after. And the after is examining apparatus positioning, line selection, ventilation options, search options, ground ladder options. And now, when we go back to that apartment complex next week, next month, or next year, that basis, all stemming from my initial on-scene report and my size up, are going to make the next operation even better. And this really becomes reciprocal as we're going through our careers, how we can improve through these basic things on every fire we go to.
Okay, so for the firefighter listening who's going to ride in the front seat for the first time tomorrow, what is the one thing they need to nail in their size up to ensure their crew comes home safe?
I think for his first time, I'm going to cross my fingers here and hope that this first time riding up in charge firefighter has had a lot of reps and a lot of training and maybe has a little bit of experience underneath his or her belt to go on. But if I would say to ensure the safety of my firefighters when all else fails, and I tell guys, this, if all else fails, your plan A is just get water flowing somewhere, somehow, whether at standing at the front door and just flowing through the front door, and continuing to flow water. That water is going to be the great equalizer at any fire we go to and protecting my companies. The other part of that is that first fire as a seat rider, a lieutenant, a captain, however your department deems it. I don't care how many reps you've done, you're still going to have a lot of anxiety. And again, if I've done all the reps, some of this is going to come real easy. If I haven't put forth the reps, then I'm going to tell you, slow down. And also don't be afraid to ask. If you're not sure, ask somebody else. Just don't just make decisions based on because of something. We make decisions sometimes based on what we want to do and not what we should do at times. I've been guilty of that. I think a lot of firefighters in the country would tell you, I wanted to be inside, even though we probably shouldn't have been inside on that particular incident. So all these factors come into play. But if I want to make sure as a brand new guy, I've given him 1,000 reps and his plan A is going to be get that first line into operation or that first water into operation. And don't be afraid to ask. Maybe your driver's a little more senior. Maybe one of the other guys, hey, did you see this? What do you think we're good? We think we're good. It's okay to ask. It's okay to talk until you build that confidence and you build and you get that more of that experience underneath your belt to see, because that takes time as well.
All right, Todd Edwards, thanks for talking with me on Code 3 today.
I appreciate your time, sir. I appreciate the invite as well. Thank you so much.
Todd's point about removing background noise and simplifying communication is crucial. If the building on fire is a Home Depot, just say it's a Home Depot. Don't start with dispatch. We have a 100,000 square foot retail structure. Just calling it a Home Depot immediately tells incoming units exactly what construction challenges they're dealing with. Remember his advice for the first time you ride in charge. Do not let tunnel vision rush you blindly inside. You have to slow down and process the big picture. When in doubt, get that first water flowing. Finally, never be afraid to ask your engineer or senior crew members for their input. It doesn't make you weak, it makes you smarter. If you want to learn more about size ups done right, go to our website, code3podcast.com/sidealpha. You'll find more resources there. Check it out. And that's it. That's all for this edition of Code 3. I hope you enjoyed it and you'll be back next time. Until then, I'm Scott Orr. Stay safe.
To contact us, get more information on today's show, or to subscribe to the podcast, go to code3podcast.com.